Still in your Bibles this morning. Got it on, didn't I? To 2 Kings chapter 4. I want to read one verse of scripture. That's not on. One verse of scripture, verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as oft as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you today for the mothers and our lives. And Lord, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask that you speak to our hearts. We realize that if the Holy Spirit doesn't quicken these words to our heart today, we'll go away from here not having learned a thing. But Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit open up our hearts. Lord, let us hear what you have for us to say. And Lord, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, maybe a mother or father or child, Lord, that today might be the day of salvation for them. We give you praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. I was wondering what I was going to do on Mother's Day. I usually preach salvation, and I thank God for his great salvation that we have. And if you do not know Jesus Christ today, today is a great day. It's the only day that you have to trust Christ. So do that before you leave here. In our text, we have an expression of the Bible says, a notable woman. Now, the old King James says, a great woman. And that word, great or notable, probably means a prominent lady. The record of her character points to greatness in one's life or in God's sight. And I would say it's the greatness of goodness, because this woman is a woman who has given her life serving God. Now, folks, I believe if we're going to be a notable woman today, a mother's or a great woman in your family or in this church or in this town, it's got to be a life that literally serves our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We can trust the Bible when it says, or when it tells us, that this woman was a notable woman. You know, the Bible tells it just like it is. Sometimes it tells us the good things about a person, sometimes the bad things about a person. But it tells us the truth. And when it pays a compliment to a lady, a woman, you ought to sit up and listen, because there's something about this woman's life that pleased God. And I believe if you're going to be a mother that really pleases God today, there's something in here that we need to see and listen to. There's something that women should pattern their lives after. And the first thing I want you to look at is her contribution here. In this home, the Bible says, she rises above her husband spiritually. Now, that may be found in many of our homes today. Our wives are spiritual leaders a lot of times. They shouldn't be. They should be, but they ought to be. The husband ought to be the spiritual leader of that house. I believe a great home is one that has a father leading and in the worship things, and the mother following him, and they're both worshiping God together, teaching their children the way they should be. But this woman is leading her, rises above her husband, I believe, and has a positive, helpful, godly influence on their life. And she was considerate of the needs of others. I believe if a woman's going to be great, she's got to be considerate of the needs of others. Proverbs 31:10. tells us about a godly woman. And a godly woman, it says in verse 20, stretches out her hands to the poor. Yea, she reaches forth to the hands to the needy. She's always reaching out, helping people, lifting them up. Well, I tell you, we want to be a mother in our home. It's one that lifts her husband up, lifts her children up, and blesses God with her life. She takes care of the family. Now, folks, I want to tell you, before I get too far in this, I have a great mother. She's been a blessing to my life. I called her this morning. She didn't know me, but it doesn't matter. I know she's my mother, and whether she knows me or not, I believe as children we ought to honor and respect our mother and our father. I believe that with all my heart. I don't say anything unkind about her. I lift her up. And we're at a time in life now that is very hard because she doesn't remember who we are. And I kept telling her this morning, Mom, I'm the preacher boy. She said, I'll be there in a minute. I said, well, I'm going to preach in a minute. She said, I'll be there in a minute because she won't be here. But I know that, and she probably didn't understand who the preacher boy was, but anyway, we ought to honor our mothers, and I believe that's part of a great mother. Our mothers we honor many times because they do so much for us in our life. You see, not only does the Old Testament says about a godly woman that she reaches out her hand to the poor, that she's helping her family with the needs of the house. She works and she takes care of that household. But in the New Testament, it's God commends women along that line. In Luke 7:30-46, Jesus speaks highly of the woman who gave that precious ointment to anoint his body before the burying. You see, the crowd said, oh, why did she waste this ointment? Jesus said, let her alone. She has done a good work for me. And he highly recommends this lady and what she's done. Not only that, Mark 12, verse 41, Jesus says to the widow who just gives two mites, she says she has given more than everyone else because this little lady has given all that she has. Now, this woman we're talking about today in 2 Kings made a contribution to Elijah and Gehazi. They were like circuit-riding preachers bringing the Word of God. We don't have circuit-riding preachers anymore, but back when I was a little boy, we had some circuit-riding preachers. They would go from church to church to church. Now, they didn't ride on the donkeys anymore, but they rode in our horses. They rode in their cars, but still they were going from church to church to church because our churches couldn't afford a full-time pastor. So these men were dedicated to go from one church to the other church and another church on Sunday, just preaching the word. Well, that's what Elisha was doing. They was bringing God to the people and the people to God. And they were dependent on others for food. I'm told many times years ago that when the preacher preached, he didn't get any kind of wage. He got a chicken that day for lunch or some eggs to carry home or something out of the garden. I've been there and done that too, and that's good stuff. But I think this woman contributes more than just food. She contributes shelter. She says, I see that this is a man of God. She knew that this was a man of God. And she wanted to contribute. I thank the Lord for the women of this church, mothers of this church, who have contributed to the work of God. We couldn't make it without y'all. I tell you, God has called some fine women through this church who have supported this church. When I needed something here, it's the ladies that stepped up and got it going and done that. Food for visiting preachers, food for evangelists, food for weddings, food for funerals. Man, I tell you, you have stepped forward. I praise God for you. I thank God for you. And I commend you on that. And I believe God commends you on that today, that you have made a contribution to the work and the ministry of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But not only does a contribution make a great lady, we also see in 9 and 10 her compassion. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small room, upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, a table and a chair and a lampstand, so that it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." She was dedicated enough to see that this man of God needed a place of rest. And she tells her husband, "Listen, let's make this man a room up on our roof and put in there a bed and some chairs so that when he passes by, he'll know that he has a place to come and stay." You know, it's always good to know that somebody is willing to help take care of someone else. And she was that kind of woman. How did she realize that this was a man of God? You know, it takes a woman of God with a vision like that to know a man of God. I believe this woman was not only compassionate, she knew God herself. I believe she rose up early. I believe she got into the Word of God. I believe she was a praying lady. I believe she spent time in prayer and time in the Word of God. This consideration of this woman was especially true along the spiritual lines. A great lady in God's sight, I believe, seeks to make life better for someone else. Whether it's in her family, think about it, ladies. Whether it's in your family, you're always making life better. Whether it's in the church, you're always making life better. Whether it's in your community, you're always making life better. A great lady commended by God is one, I believe, that makes life better for people. Instead of tearing down, she builds up. Is that true of your life? Are you a help? Are you a hindrance? So you see, you're one or the other. You are either a builder. Someone said, you either build up or you tear down. And I pray this morning that you are a builder upper in life, that you build up people around you. You build up your pastor. You build up your family. You build up your teacher. You don't gossip about them, but yet you think of the positive things. You see, it's so easy for us to get caught in a trap of tearing things down. We tear down sometimes, we don't even realize it. When we gossip, build up in your life. Give a child a good mother. You give a child a good father. You give a child a good pastor, a teacher, and a church. And you will give that child, I believe, every opportunity to be a blessing to God and not a burden to the ministry. It's so good when I see a mother and a daughter, or a father and a son, or a family come to know Jesus Christ and go through the baptismal waters, because I believe if they go through those waters together and they share Jesus Christ in their family, oh, let me tell you something. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have troubles in our life. That's just part of life. But you give a family God in their life, and they've got every opportunity to be great in their family, great in their community, great to God in their life. This woman made a contribution to God, and she was considerate and compassionate towards the things of God. That's a great woman. And not only that, we read not only that, but her contentment. Look, in verse 11, as it happened one day that he came there, and as he turned into the upper room and lay down there, then he said to Gehazi, his servant called this Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered and said, "I dwell among my own people." We see here an appreciation of kindness from Elisha. He said, "Is there anything, lady, for being so kind and considerate of us, is there anything that I can do for you to make your life more comfortable?" And you know what her reply was? "I dwell among my people." In other words, that word "dwell" means a notion of being at an act of peace where she's at. In other words, "I've got everything that I need. I dwell among my people. I'm at peace among my people." She wants nothing of the king. I just imagine she respected the king as much as she respected God's man. She said, "I have no quarrel with my neighbors." And that wouldn't that be great? That we can live our lives content, no quarrels whatsoever with our neighbors, no quarrels whatsoever with our families. She is perfectly content with her position in life. She's a woman of God. She's a woman in her household. She's a homemaker in life. Let me tell you something. If you're a homemaker and you're not out working every day, well, praise God, you're working hard in your home. I know what it is for these mothers to raise children. I tell you what, that's a job in itself. You do a great job of that. If you can stay home, you're lucky enough to stay home. A lot of people are not lucky enough to stay home anymore. They have to work, and you have to shuffle between all of those things. Let me tell you something. God bless you for your contentment in life, without which a house will never really be a home. I thank God that in our home, if mother and daddy ever fought, we didn't know it. I never heard him say an unkind word about my mother, and I never heard my mother say an unkind word about him. You know, some women today act like they're ashamed to be a woman in a household, and they belittle homemaking and motherhood and things like that. Don't do that. You're doing an important job with your children. You spend time with them. If you're in the workplace, you spend time there at work, and you go home and you work at home, and you know it's a never-ending job, isn't it? Motherhood costs. It costs. And it always has, and it always will. Someone said the other day, said, you know, I was talking about, I won't get in on that, because that might just lead to something else. I just don't do that. And there stood, listen to what happens when Jesus was crucified. The Bible says, "And thereby stood the cross, his mother." You see, his mother was at the cross when he was crucified. Oh, let me tell you something. Mothers are forever standing by the cross. They tell me if you're having a child, you go to the edge of death to bring that baby into the world. And you die daily in your life to bring that baby up right in this world. A godly woman and a godly mother. I read this and I want to bring it. It really fits my mother. She's a chauffeur. She's a maid. She's a cook. She was a referee. When you have five kids, you have to referee a lot. And then she was a philosopher. Man. But most of all, she's a first responder, too. I tell you what, she's always first when there's a fight to break it up. She was always first to pick us up and try to stop the blood from bleeding. You see, she was there. She was a hostess. And she was a tutor. She taught us. Praise the Lord for Christian mothers. And then their confidence in verses 14 through 37. Elisha saw her secret hurt. This woman didn't have any children. And he enabled her to, and her husband to have a boy one day. Now, this comes many times in our life. She didn't have a child, but Elisha said, this time next year, you're going to have a boy. Well, she was joyful that she had that son. As time grows up, that son comes up, and we find that boy is out in the field working one day. In the heat of the day, he begins to have a pain in his head, and he begins to holler, my head, my head. One of the men tells the husband, says, your son's having a heat stroke. What is he doing? He said, take him to his mother. When he got to his mother, you know what his mother did? She laid him down on the bed. Not because he was going to die, but I believe because she was going to live. Because she said, go tell the man of God. Isn't that something? She was looking to God all along. Make no mistake. When something happens, where do we want to go? The first person we want to see is our mother, doesn't it? I tell you what, that's just about every time. In the trials of life, I've watched it over and over and over. These old boys, they may be muscled up and everything. They may be grown. They think they're grown. They may be playing football for the Dallas Cowboys or whatever. But let me tell you something. When something goes wrong, they say, we want mama. We want our mother to be beside us. Why? Because mother brings comfort to our hearts. Mother brings comfort in the time of trial. And when everyone else turns their back on you, your mother will still be there. Let me tell you, that's over and over. In the hour of temptation, God alone knows how many of us have been spared because of the prayers of our mother. When we'd go out on Friday night, boy, mother would be praying for us to come in safe and secure. Now look at her life in the hour of death. Her boy has died, and she laid the boy in Elisha's bed, not to prepare, like I said, for death, but I believe to prepare for life. God will give your child back, Elisha said. Some of you here have lost your children. You've lost your children to death. God's word to you, I believe, is get ready for the resurrection. You'll see him again. In Christ, oh happy day, oh happy day. Mother lost two children to death in her days. And if you ask her if she could remember, she would say, I haven't lost them, for I know where they are. And one day, I'll see them again. Folks, that's a great mother. If it were not for the resurrection, oh, the hope of heaven would be unbearable for me and you. And the bereaved mothers and fathers. But listen, there is coming a day when we will see our loved ones again. And oh, happy day when Jesus washed our sins away, that we might have life, eternal life. And one day we'll see our children again. One day we'll know all our joy in Christ will be so great that your sorrow will all be forgotten. Never again to have to die. Living eternally in Christ Jesus. Many of us will lose our children to something worse than death. We'll lose our children to spiritual death. Some of us will watch our children ruin their life. We'll watch our children ruin their health. We'll watch our children go away from God and ruin their lives and shame their names and break our hearts. And folks, let me tell you something, that's worse than death. Because without Christ in their life, they're lost for all eternity. Now, if you've got children and they're in that condition, you know what you need to do? You need to live your life in such a way that you'll please God and He will hear your prayers and turn their life around. I believe our lives are turned around because of a praying mother and father. In a praying church, your child needs our prayers. I look at all these little children, and I hope they're all saved. I don't know. It was a wonderful thing to see that young girl come to know Jesus Christ. One day, we'll see them all again in heaven if they're saved. But if I had a child and I had a daughter of any age, a teenager or whatever, I would be praying for their soul. I had turned them over to God years ago, my wife and I, when our children were little. We dedicated them to God. We made a commitment to God that we're going to train them up in church, you know? And we did exactly that. We brought them up in church. Oh, they didn't want to go sometimes, but they went, mainly because I was a preacher. They didn't have no choice. But let me tell you something. I never had to make them go. They went. And one day, God saved the oldest one. And then one day, God saved the youngest one. And praise God, our prayers have been answered. Now, you can do the same thing. I was nothing special. God loves you just as much as He loved me. Turn your children over to God. If they're out in the world, you get on your knees and get right before God and you say, God, I want my children to come to know You and trust You as their Lord and Savior. I want my children to get their lives right. I want their heart to be pure with God so that one day when I die, I'll know that they'll be in heaven. You see, I believe we ought to do that. I believe we ought to trust God, even though we don't see the results. You continue to trust God, and you continue to believe God for that great day. And one day when you get to heaven and they get to heaven, you can say, oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. A great woman is one who contributes to her family. A great woman is one that has compassion for all people. A great woman is one who is content in her calling as a mother. And a great woman is one who has confidence in God. Those four things you need as a mother. Those four things we need as a father. Those four things we need in life. Just trust God. And if you're here today and you've never trusted God as your Lord and Savior, or you may have children out there in the way that I mentioned, you ought to come to this altar, get on your knees before God and say, Lord, today, the mistakes I've made in the past, I confess them before You. I want to get my life right with You. I want to start lifting up my family. I want to be the kind of person You call me to be. May we pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You today that our lives are hid in Christ. We ask You, Lord, to speak to our hearts. If there's someone here that doesn't know You as Lord and Savior, that this morning might be the morning that they trust You. Lord, give them the strength and the faith to step out and come down to the altar and get their lives right. Oh, what a great Mother's Day it would be if we'd all just get our lives right so that we can live really abundantly. In Jesus' name, amen.